What if there was just one word that could explain everything in your life, lead you out of disappointment and struggle, point you to your purpose, enable you to make all your decisions in alignment with your empowered destiny, and heal your relationships? Well, wouldn't that make life easier, healthier, and more joyful and even more abundant? Well, according to our guest today, there is such a magical word, and Ani Anderson will show us how to discover that precious treasure, the key to setting a course driven by your soul's agenda. And that's her book, Find Your Soul's Agenda, the one word that will make your whole life a success. Now, Ani, who has more credential letters after her name than the letters in a can of alphabet soup, is the creator of this process and co-creator of Sensation-Based Mindset Coaching. She's a coach. In the year 2000, after graduating with her master's degree in occupational therapy, she quickly found the constraints of the Western medical system did not offer the creativity or freedom to be able to deliver complete and meaningful treatments to her clients. So she left to pursue private practice, helping people heal using energy medicine practices. And then in 2012, Ani's personal life crumbled. She became the person who needed the healing, and none of her therapist friends could help her. And this was when she found life coaching. Feeling lost, she took 3 different courses to help her find her purpose. And although the results were similar, none of them seemed remotely attainable. Using her background in Chinese medicine and energy healing, she came up with her own purpose system, the Find Your Soul's Agenda. And I'm going to let her talk about that. Obviously, she knows a lot more about the specifics than I do. So let's go ahead and say, hi, Ani. Glad to have you on the show today.
Oh, Wynn, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
Okay, so 2012, you started having problems in your life, and you took some courses in life coaching. Is that right?
Yeah, I was specifically looking for my purpose, so I took some different assessments, and I took some different courses on how to identify your purpose.
Okay. Now, is that the main thing that's in this book, Find Your Soul's Agenda?
Well, yeah, it really is purpose work. It's specifically for people who are looking for purpose. It's approached in a way that's different than a lot of other purpose work because, for me, when I took these courses, the results were pointing toward something, and that something was similar for each of the courses and the different assessments I was taking, but I couldn't figure out how to get from where I was to where I wanted to be, or how the person that the results were describing, I didn't identify with that person. I thought that the results of the courses I was taking were really talking about someone else. I couldn't see myself as the person they were describing. And so, yes, the Soul Agenda process is purpose work, and I think part of the difference is from other purpose work is it helps a person to get from where they are to where they want to be.
What did the courses that you took say that your purpose should be?
So some of the purpose work was trying to point directly to a doing statement, what you should do with your life. And on one hand, I appreciated that, and on another hand, it felt kind of hollow because I felt like my purpose wasn't just about what I did for a living, but it was about who I was as a person, you know, the person who was at home with my kids, the person who was out going to the grocery store, you know, not just what I did for a living. And also, that purpose work was pointing at a very one-sided reality. It was pointing towards a person who was always happy and always succeeding. And if I wasn't in a place of happiness or success, then who was I? Maybe I didn't exist.
And what did this work let you know was the definition of success? Obviously, it's not making money.
That's a really great question. So as I was getting into this purpose work and feeling very lost in my own life, I did have an awareness or a thought that success meant the outward success that we see. Maybe it was making a lot of money. Maybe it was having everybody like me. It was this idea of success that I think a lot of people hold themselves to or toward or think that they should be. But I was coming to find out rather quickly and on a daily basis that concept of success wasn't going to work for me. It was keeping me miserable. And so I actually very consciously started to redefine success for myself. And when I remember the day that it really landed on me what I wanted my concept of success to be, I was in the kitchen and I was cooking soup. And I was cutting the ends off the carrots and I was peeling the onions and I was taking those things and putting them in the compost. Where I live, there's a very rich agricultural community. And so we get most of our food from local farmers, and we also take our compost to the local farm when we're done with it. And so I was putting these food scraps into the compost, and I was thinking about how we were going to take that compost, and we were going to take it down the road to the farmers, and we were going to give it to the farmers who would mix it with manure and then use it to nourish the growth of the plants the next year. And I thought about how wonderful that was. And I thought about how, you know, I wonder if maybe my concept of success could have something, could be something like that, because I wanted to be nourishing the growth of my, you know, metaphoric flowers in my own life. And what if I took the scraps, the waste, the difficult aspects of life, and instead of just throwing them in the trash, what if I used them as lessons? And so as I was conceptualizing this, yes, this made a lot of sense for me. I think a better concept of success for me was going to be using everything in life to nourish my growth rather than throwing things away or thinking that some parts of life weren't usable or valuable.
Well, I think that every experience that we have in life could cause us to have growth that would help us find our purpose in life, and once we find it, to develop it. Do you agree?
Yes, I would totally agree with that. Absolutely. It's like our gold comes out of the difficult moments. For people who really live a rich life, so often that richness comes out of difficulty.
All right. Did you ever write a purpose statement, a mission statement?
Yeah, I did. I have since these purpose courses. But before, when I would write a purpose statement, it was really, again, about outward success, and it was about my job. It was that kind of thing. And so once I started to go through the purpose courses and redefine for myself what I wanted purpose to be, then I was using these concepts that were more of a felt quality statement about who I wanted to be. And the Soul Agenda work, when a person goes through it and they Well, I'll tell you for a second. It's really looking at your past memories, and it's looking at the felt qualities of those memories. And then after you do that, coming up with what we call a soul agenda statement, which could be a purpose statement. If a person is embracing this idea as an idea of purpose, which I do. So yes, I have come up with a purpose statement for myself in regard to my soul agenda work. And then from there, I have also come up with, I talk about it in terms of mission. I have come up with different ideas in terms of my mission in different areas of life. For example, how do I want to use that purpose or my soul agenda to be a better mother? How would I like to use that purpose to be a better worker or contributor in the world? And so those I would define for me more as mission statements in different aspects of my life.
So this is what your workshops and your book and everything will help people with, is to find purpose in the soul's agenda.
Yes. Exactly. It helps somebody to define their purpose and to put that into words that not only, it sounds kind of silly, but I'm going to say make sense. Oftentimes when we can talk about something that could be esoteric, like the idea of purpose, sometimes our words aren't words that we can practically use. So the Soul Agenda statement is a statement that you can practically use, and I would expect that people will use it to help them make decisions. So that's very practically based. And also, the words that we use when we develop a soul agenda statement, they're defined individually. They're defined by the person doing the work. So my soul agenda words are defined by me, not by the words I would see in the dictionary. And I think this is another really important concept, because when I was trying to find my purpose, there were words floating around, and they were kind of hollow because it wasn't a word that I defined. I didn't actually understand the meaning or knew that that meaning meant or translated to other people. So we have people identify their soul agenda word and then define it for themselves in what it means for them. And it's kind of fascinating, actually, because as we do this work, the number one word that shows up most often in people's soul agenda statements is love. So I've done this process with many people who have used the word love as they are developing their purpose statements, and I haven't heard the same definition of love twice.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tell me, give me an overview of your work with helping people find their soul's agenda. Can you give me a kind of I do this?
Sure. Oftentimes when people find me and they're interested in finding their soul's agenda, they have either rather immediately come out of a situation where they have gone through some kind of difficult situation, or they have gone through a difficult situation in life that is not yet resolved for them. That's usually when people find me. And so they're looking for direction. They're looking for more positive emotional experience in their life that they have not been able to achieve. And so for a lot of people, what we do is, you know, some people we have an audio program, and we refer them to the audio program if that's the most important, so that they can learn the information more deeply. Some people are going to get into a private coaching relationship with us and do some private work. And then there are also folks who, you know, they've been through something in their life, they have resolved it, and when they read this book or learn about this information, light bulbs go off and they say, wow, like, this is actually what I did for myself. I just didn't know that's what I did. And so they want to learn how to be able to use the information to help others. And we have a certification program that we put people through to be able to be a facilitator so that they can use this work in their own life.
So who is your audience? Is it everybody?
No, it's primarily women. And the women who find this are usually women who are in their, I would say, 50s primarily. They're people who are looking to redefine themselves. And they're usually spiritually based when these are usually people who know that there is something more for them that they haven't experienced yet, and specifically more that they can contribute. They're wanting to make a bigger difference or a bigger impact in the lives of others, and they haven't completely figured out how to do that. These people are also usually mothers, and so what comes in tandem with the idea that they want to make a bigger difference in the lives of others is they have some kind of personal thing that they're struggling with. It usually comes out in terms of struggle with their partnership or struggle with their children. And this is where this unresolved thing comes from or has something to do with it. There's some kind of unresolved family dynamic, usually with the people who really resonate with this work, that they're looking to resolve. They're really looking, I think that's a great word, this word resolution, because these people are really looking to resolve something.
Well, now you said that your audience is mostly women, but isn't it true that men need a purpose, a soul's agenda also?
Absolutely. And so, you know, we actually have quite a number of clients who are men. Just between you and me, Wynn, they say that they don't really resonate with the title of the work, but they resonate with the work. So whereas they don't love the fact that I've chosen to call it Find Your Soul's Agenda, the people who have utilized this work, the men who have utilized this work with us, love the system and they love the work and they love doing it with in their own lives and with each other. They think it's really powerful.
Okay. Well, you know, Ani, that I've been doing work in the addiction field for 30, 40 years. And I found that one of the biggest things that keeps people away from addictive behaviors that want to hurt them is having a mission, having a purpose, and then trying to do that every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so people would ask me, how do I find my mission, my purpose, and everything like that? And let me share with you what I tell them.
Great.
I say, it's a prayer and meditation cycle. And the prayer would be something like this. If I had no limitations, not financial or economic, studies and things along those lines, if I didn't have any limitations, and if I didn't care what the other people thought about what I was doing, what would I do that would help the most number of people in a way that I could get passionate about for the last years of my life? That's the prayer, and then you meditate on the answer, and something will hit you. It might be the same day. It might be weeks or months. But when you get that feeling of how that question is answered, then go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are no limitations except for the limitations that you put on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And who cares what other people think? You know, if you live for other people, they're going to put you down and judge you and tell you do things and everything. So who cares about what they think? Just figure out what it is that you could do with your life that would make the biggest impact. And sooner or later, they will come across some idea, and then I tell them, go do it. Then, after you've been doing that for a while, if it doesn't seem to be working out, go back and ask that question again. That's the way that I tell people how to find their soul's agenda. How does that resonate with, what you think.
I love it so much on so many levels. So let me dive in with this one. When you ask people, what would I do that would help and impact other people's lives, I think that that's such a powerful way to help people to shift into service. And so, you know, I've seen with my own history and with my own life how unbelievably moving that can be in a person's life. And when I say moving, you know, part of me wants to say motivating, but I think it's even more than motivating. I think that it, you know, to me, motivation is something we can talk about and conceptualize, but we really want people to move into action. So I love the concept of digging in and deciding how I can impact others, because it really helps us to wake up every day and think about the service that we're providing when we approach it like that.
I'm not great on remembering quotes word for word, but Albert Schweitzer, who was a missionary to Africa, said something like, I don't know how to help you define what your purpose and mission in life is, but if you want to be happy in life, you'll find something that you can do to be of service to others. Mm. And you know, purpose, mission, and everything comes back to service to others.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be happy, you serve other people, and some people do it by cooking meals, and some do it by raising their children, and some do it by going off and being missionaries and whatever. But each one of us is wonderfully made and has the ability to do something probably better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I resonate with that wholeheartedly, and, you know, I was sharing with you that my personal life has been touched by addiction, specifically alcohol addiction, in a few different ways. And you're reminding me of a story about someone in my family who was really struggling with alcohol addiction, and they were not on the purpose path. And so they continued to really struggle. And it wasn't until getting in trouble with the law and landing in jail and really needing to go inside and develop some resolve that this person really was able to develop a sense of service for themselves. And now they are providing such a deep level of service to whole communities. It just is astounding to me. And they've been clean, and they just continue to step up and step out and serve more and more deeply. It's been such an honor and a privilege to watch the process that they've gone through from this downward spiral that was, you know, really dragging others into it in terms of the family and even community members, to a person who is a role model in the community through service, and just joyful service. It's really been quite a powerful example for me.
You know, the 12-step program, and they have 12 steps on practically anything that you want to be addicted to. But the last one, the 12th step, says something like, as a result of what I've been through, what I've learned, and everything like that, I'm going to dedicate my existence to helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically, that seems to be the majority of it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, now you gave me a quote from Eckhart Tolle, and he said that every addiction arises from an unconscious refusal to face and move through your own pain. Can
mm-hmm.
you develop that for me?
Yeah, I think as we're talking about this concept of purpose, one of the interesting things, and I've definitely noticed this in my therapeutic and coaching career and my personal experience, there's great value in looking at ourselves and how we can better ourselves. And that some of that work can be done on ourselves, with ourselves, by ourselves. But there comes a time when, in order to really face and move through our own pain, this idea of service is so important, because we can transcend our own suffering by being of service to others. And so this quote and this idea of addiction arising from an unconscious refusal to face and move through our own pain, I think one of the inherent ideas in there is, in order to face your own pain, one of the swiftest ways to be able to do that is to look at how I can serve others. Inherent in the idea of how I can serve others, we need to continue to do our own work, personal work, development work, so that we can be our best for the people that we serve. I think there's a really wonderful idea there. What is the word? Synergy, maybe, is the word I'm looking for, in terms of developing ourselves and developing our work in the world as we develop other people at the same time.
Honey, people ask me, what is the cause of addiction? And I know what the cause of it is, and unless you treat the cause, you'll never get the behavior stopped. So let me tell you what the cause is and see if you agree or don't. Mm-hmm. The cause of addiction is a low self-esteem. You don't value yourself enough as a person, and that is a result of lack of spiritual consciousness. You don't understand your place in the universe. You don't understand the relationships. You don't understand your value and everything. And when you feel bad about yourself, what do? You go out in society and you try to find something that's going to make you happy. Mm-hmm. And what is that? Well, it's whatever is common and available. So yeah. You take... The most common addiction today in this country is screen addiction. Television screens.
Yeah, so much.
Video games, telephones, smartphones. That's common and available, and that's what people who have this low self-esteem, lack of understanding and everything, that's what they're reaching for today to try to solve that problem. And, unfortunately, just like any of the other addictions, it's not going to do it. Mm-hmm. They're going to spend more and more time on their screens, less and less time relating to family members and being in relationships where you actually talk to somebody. And they're dumbing down. They don't know how to write. They don't know how to spell. They just know how to use their thumbs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see this as a really sad thing, but, you know, what can we do? So, at any rate, getting back to your program, how would a person who's just listening to us say, I need what Ani Anderson can give me? How would they answer that question?
I think one of the key things that you just said, and I love your definition, by the way, is that people are looking for their place in the world. There's a lack of spiritual consciousness or connection, and they're looking for their place in the world. And I similarly was looking for my place when I developed this program. The thing that I think is really unique and interesting about the Find Your Soul Agenda process is this. It's based on a holistic view of life, not just the idea that life is always sunshine, butterflies, and unicorns, but that sometimes life is tough. Sometimes life is tough. And the interesting thing is that as an individual, when we have a tendency to really express or to experience, to really experience the highs and the lows in life like two sides of a coin. It actually, if you look at a quarter, or you hold a quarter in your hand, you can see the head side, if you've got that side up, and you know the tail side is there, but you don't see it unless you flip it over. And if you're looking at the tail side, you know the head side is there, but you don't see it until you flip it over. Now, those two sides are attached to two sides of the same coin, just like the saying would say. We are the same way. We have a tendency to experience life in a certain way, and the two sides of our own coin, who we are actually connected. So, for example, some people love to experience passion in life, and then the opposite side of that coin is that they experience depression or they experience numbness. Some people love to experience adventure in their life, but the opposite of that or the other side of that would be boring or rules and regulations that squash their sense of adventure, being an adventure. So, or love and hate, those are both sides of the same coin. Each of us experiences life with a tendency toward a certain kind of energy. So I'm more of a passion person. When I experience life in the light side of life, I experience life as energized and inspiring, and I want to just go for a 5-mile run and then do it again. And on the opposite side of that, I can experience times of depletion or low energy or numbness. And so those actually are two sides of me. I have a tendency to experience life in both of those aspects. The Soul Agenda process helps a person to see that they're not wrong, or that life is not wrong, and there's nothing wrong with them when they experience life in those, we call them polar aspects, or that tail side of the coin of who they are. There's nothing wrong with them. They just have a tendency to experience life in that way. They also have choice, which I would love to hear your ideas on, I'm sure. We're similar in this way. People have a choice to look at the other side of the coin. So even if we're experiencing life in the ways that we don't like to experience, we have the choice to, for example, really get into our mission with how we want to serve. And in that way, we move ourselves to the positive aspects of life that we like to experience more often. But just to summarize what I'm saying here, we have this dualistic way of experiencing life, and the Soul Agenda process helps somebody to understand there's nothing wrong with them when they're experiencing life in the ways that they don't love to experience life. They're always on purpose. You can't not be on purpose. Even when you're experiencing life in those ways, you're still on purpose. There's a way for you to grow, and there's choices that you can make to flip the coin.
Yes, I hear you. What do you require of a person who wants to use you, your program, workshops, and everything, or do you require anything from them, knowing that unless they really want to change, they really want to get well, that it's not worth their time or your time to do it?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we've learned this through not getting it, you know. So when our clients or our students are not willing to change the way that they think about life, they won't have success with our programs. And so we've been very explicit about that since getting into the circumstances. Honestly, I think it was twice where things weren't going so well, and we started to really question with people, like, what's going on? Let's talk about this more. And we got to the awareness that they did not want to change how they thought about life. And we know that people won't have success with our programs if they're not willing to change how they think about life. And so that's really the major requirement. We have the mindset of our whole training is about the fact that we're looking at the world through certain glasses. And if you want to change what you see out there, you know, most of the time, you have to change the glasses that you're looking through. So you have to change your perception of the world. You have to change your perception of life or change your perception of self. Just like you were saying about low self-esteem, if you have low self-esteem, then you need to start looking through the lenses of out into the world, through the lenses of, I do have something to offer. If you're not willing to consider changing that thought, then it's been my experience that people stay stuck.
My platform is what we're doing right now, primarily. It's an iTunes podcast called Freedom from Addiction, and it's free, of course, and you can get it on your phone or your computer or whatever like that. And so I just did a program yesterday, and a man who has credentials and is very knowledgeable about nutrition and the effect that it has on you. And we went over this, and he scientifically showed me how that, for example, we know what the cause of cancer is. Now, if you just go into society and you ask people, what causes cancer? You're not going to get any answers. I don't know. You know, a lot of things cause cancer, blah, 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 like that. But he gave me a program that I gave to the world today, how limiting your diet for sugar and starch will cut down on your incidence of cancer. And if you've got cancer and if you've been through chemo or radiation or whatever, the chance of you getting better and curing it will dramatically rise. Okay? Now, he's got proof of that. And I'll say that to people and they'll say, well, I don't want to stop the sweets. I don't want to stop the Coca-Cola. I don't want to stop the mashed potatoes. And I'm thinking to myself, what does it take to get you to change your mind, to change your thoughts? And one of the things would be if you had a purpose that you knew that this is what you were created for. This is why you were here, and you're not going to be able to accomplish it if you die.
Mm-hmm.
and so, you know, it gets back to the question, do you want to get well? Are you willing to change? Because if you don't want to get well, and you're not willing to change, there is nobody, nothing, no pills, no surgery, no chemotherapy, no nothing that's going to 100% of the time cure you.
Yeah, and to add to that, when I agree with everything you just said, I think that sometimes it can really be hard to believe in oneself. Like I hear Wynn saying I can do it, and I just, you know, the self-esteem is so bad or whatever that I just, will I be able to do it? Will it work for me? And, you know, just hearing you speak passionately about this topic helps me to feel that your listeners will feel like you believe they can do it. And that's something that I see with our clients as well, when we tell them, you know, we believe that you can do this. And one of the reasons that we believe that people can do it is because we've seen it happen over and over again. You've seen the results of purpose working in the addiction realm over and over. So you believe it can work, and you know that everybody has the capacity to do that. And I think similarly with changing our thoughts or our view of the world, I've seen it happen over and over again. Miraculous things happen in people's lives. It just blows me away, some of the things that happen in people's lives. And I know that everybody has the capacity. I think it's really important to me to relate that message, that everybody has the capacity. You can. But you do have to be willing to put in some energy. But when you believe that, when you know that somebody else believes in you, I think it's a little bit easier to muster some of that energy that it requires to overcome these things.
Yeah. And my book on addiction is called Freedom from Addiction and then the number 3. And it's available on the Amazon for very little money. And in that book, I tell my personal story and history so that if you read that, you know that the belief factor is something that you can believe in, because other than the fact that it happened to me, maybe you wouldn't believe it. And I think that we as health professionals trying to help people and everything need to tell about our own story. Mm-hmm. This is how I was, and this is what I did, and this was the result of it. So I just bring that up to say that you're right. You've got to somehow or the other convince the people that their belief is well-founded, and that if they do what you tell them to do, change their thoughts, do the action, then they're going to get the same result. They're going mm-hmm. to be cured. They're going to be happier. They're going to live longer. Whatever it is that they want and everything. And so I agree with you. Belief is very, very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, faith, right?
Yeah. Now, for the people that came in late, we're talking with Ani Anderson. Her book is Find Your Soul's Agenda, the one word that will make your whole life a success. And Ani, tell the people how to get a copy of your book.
Sure. It's at www.findyoursoulsagenda.com.
Okay. And that's your website, and you got
it is
on there that they would be interested in if they went over there?
Yeah, when they're that website will direct you to the different ways in which you can access the book. So there's Kindle versions on Amazon, and there's audio versions on Audible and other sites, and the paperback version as well, which is not on Amazon yet. We got a little stuck on that one, but it's available through us. So all the different ways to access the book are there, and there's also free resources for people who are just looking at getting a taste but aren't, sure if the book's quite right for them yet.
And can they accomplish what they want to accomplish just with a book, or do they need more or different of your services?
So it was interesting to me when writing the book, because this is a process that I have used with my private clients over the past number of years. And when I wrote the book, just like jumping into the pool and kind of plugging my nose and hoping it would work, I was curious to see what the results would be for people who weren't getting led through the work but were leading themselves, reading the book and doing it themselves. And I get emails every week telling me that people have been able to have success with the work just by reading the book. So that's really awesome. I'm so excited to hear that. So yes, people are definitely gaining insights, changing behaviors, experiencing more positive emotions in their life, and able to work through things just by reading the book. It's great.
Well, that's great, and because the book doesn't cost that much. My book costs $12.95, and you go into an inpatient therapy situation, and you can pay $80,000, and I get better results than they do. So start with a book. It doesn't cost a whole lot. And then if you get hung up, then you call Ani, and you can get her contact information on her website and see what she recommends at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. So one of the ways that people get hung up, we're noticing, is quite honestly, they don't trust themselves. And I get it, because I've also been to those places in my own life. And when that happens, it's really nice to have somebody else on the other side who's done the work, who's experienced it, to just reflect with and relate with, so that you can really you know, feel like you've had success with the process. That's the number one hang-up that I'm seeing, is that self-trust factor. I mean, some people just need a little bit more help with that, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, you say self-trust, and I say belief. If you don't have belief that you can do it, I guess you're not trusting yourself, but you've got to have belief. You know, the Bible says that if you have the belief of a grain of mustard seed, a very small little seed, you can move mountains. And that seed, when you put it in the ground, it grows up to be a great big tree that birds can nest in. And who would have thought? You got to have that belief that what you're going to do is going to work. And so that's what I would like to leave people from my point of view with today, is that if you've got a problem, find out someone who has an answer that you can believe in, and then go do it and see what happens.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite quotes. I love that you brought that one up.
So, what have I not asked you about that you're just dying to tell me?
I think that one of the things that that I would love to just highlight is there's nothing wrong with anybody. No matter what is going on in your life, there's nothing wrong with you. The life isn't wrong. You're not wrong. The other people aren't wrong. I see this over and over again, that whatever it is that a person's really looking for, like really searching for, whether it's somebody to love them or whether it's a certain feeling around a job they really want to have, or health, whatever it is that they're really looking for, is actually right under their nose. And when someone is really struggling, they're so close to the goal that they're looking for. I would highly encourage anybody who's listening to this, who really does feel like they're struggling right now, to add in an element of curiosity, maybe to look at their lives from, instead of such a personal perspective, try to gain a larger perspective. Look at yourself like you're looking at a movie or something like that, and just be curious. I wonder where that gold is. I wonder where the love that I want is. I wonder where the health that I'm looking for is. Because when you can start to ask yourself questions like that, all of a sudden you're going to have new answers that come to your head. If you're asking questions like, what's wrong with me, then you'll get those answers. But if you ask yourself the questions like, where is the love, where is the health, where is the joy, then you'll get those answers. And that's really a powerful way to begin to work with your mind.
Yeah, you summed it up really well. This low self-esteem that comes from a lot of things, including your past history and what people have said to you and done to you and everything, can't be the thing that you focus on. You have to focus on the fact that you are so much more than what you have heard that you are, because that's the truth, and you have the ability to do unbelievable things. All you got to do is take the action, and you're never a failure if you never give up. Edison, he found out 10,000 different ways the light bulb wouldn't work. He wasn't a failure at 9,000 or 9,500, but he didn't give up until the light bulb worked, and he was a success. So just try to remember that even if things don't seem to be going right today, the way that you want them, success is just around the corner. It may be the next thing that would happen if you hung in just another day. And that's what I would recommend to people, is never give up. Because you remember a famous speech that Churchill gave to a graduating class. It was also the shortest speech on record. He got up there behind the podium and he said, never, 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 never give up. That was it. You know? And I've heard a lot of commencement speeches that bored me to tears. But if I'd heard that one and taken it to heart, I would have got something really important out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so tell the people how is the best way to get in touch with you.
Sure. If you go to findyoursoulagenda.com, you'll find the book, you'll find me. And I know this sounds crazy, but I actually do love to hear from people. So there's a contact form on there, and I answer all emails that come in. So, you know, please don't hesitate to reach out. FindYourSoulsAgenda.com.
FindYourSoulsAgenda.com. Honey, it's really been delightful having you on the program today and telling us about your perspective of your soul's agenda, and I just wish you all the success, and I hope you keep up doing this wonderful work that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Wayne. This was a great conversation, and I really appreciate you asking me to be here.
Okay, good. Goodbye.